I'm doing great. Nervous, but great. Because I'm human. So let's start with prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to glorify you. I pray, Father, that you would take all of my words out of my mouth and only your words would come out. Father, I just lift you up and praise you. Thank you for all that you have done for me. In your son's name I pray. Amen. So I'm not going to go into a lot of the gory details. There's a couple of things I do want to say, but I do want to start with one scripture. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. That was my life before Christ. My parents were divorced when I was very young. When I would go visit my dad, my grandpa was a very strong influence in my life. On Sunday mornings, he would come get me, and my dad would be like, "But I have plans." And my grandpa would be like, "So do I. He's coming with me." And so I was the kid that found the empty pew and flipped paper footballs back and forth all the way down. And my grandfather never said a word to me, not that I remember. So he made sure that I heard the word very young and often as he could make it happen. So the like I said, I'm not going to go into gory detail, but there's a couple of things that I wanted to say before I go into the last part of this. So I have had struggled with depression for most of my life. When I say struggled, it was one of those things that was constantly in the back of my mind that I didn't want to be here. I remember very specifically, alcohol is a very big part of my story too. I remember very specifically one time I was drunk, got into a fight with a guy, and he pulled out a gun, and I called him every name in the book to make him want to shoot me. I can still to this day see his finger move, pulling back, and then he pulls and fires into the. Like I said, alcohol is a very big part of my story. I started drinking very early, alcoholically, from the very start. By the grace of God, I was introduced to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just a few things on that. My sponsor, I had a few moments with my sponsor, and there's two things that he told me that really kind of really set me. Is one, that there was a God and it was not me. And the other was, he asked me this question. He said, "If God has all power, how much do you have?" And I said, "That's not fair." And and so I got into the rooms of AA, and I submerged myself. I was going to 6-7 meetings a week, making sure that people went. I was in rehab, and I was the only one with a license, so I made sure I waited an extra 5 minutes and went and got people. I mean, this is how deep I went into AA. And I remember someone saying that about 5 years, you should be able to, you should have a better life. And I remember thinking, 5 years, I am absolutely miserable. And like I said, my grandfather had a very big influence on my life. So I was in the middle of this misery, and I had a dream of my grandfather. And I said to him, "I know you have the answers. My life is miserable. I need to talk to you." And as soon as I said, "I need to talk to you," I woke up. And I was in tears. And at that moment, I was, at that moment, I had made the decision that I was no longer going to be here. I had a plan. I knew it was going to work. I was working out of town, and my roommate, I left before on Monday morning before he got up, and I had a bathroom in my room, and I rented a room from him. He was a friend of mine, and I knew it was going to work. And at that moment, God took it away. It was like crazy. Like, I have felt oppression, but I've never felt depression since then. God literally just plucked it out of me. And I had been going to church off and on, and I remember saying, it's kind of funny, you know, God, I'm going to try to follow you. I said, but you know that I'm lonely. And about 3 months later, I met my wife. And so I was, as much as I had tried to submerse myself into AA, I started submersing myself into God. And so I, one thing I do want to say that a lot of people might know this or hear this about AA, they say that alcoholism is a disease. I certainly feel that there are certain aspects of it that are physical, but in the word it says alcoholism is drunkenness. I don't believe it's a disease. It's drunkenness. And you can get addicted to it, but it's not a disease. I'm not a victim. I've never been a victim. If I start thinking I'm a victim, then I start changing the way I think. So I got involved in church, in this church, and I was going back and forth. Like I said, I met Caroline, and we were going back and forth between Wilmington Bible Chapel and Port City Community Church, and we would go, and finally we ended up at Wilmington Bible Chapel, and I was there for a while. I was talking. I mean, I would go to work and I would talk to people about God. I would do everything. Like, I was pretty adamant about people knowing who he was. And then one day, so they were having vacation Bible school, and I was determined not to help. So I, every time they would have a meeting, I would kind of like hide, ignore it. And then Mary King one day said to me, oh, by the way, Chris, you're going to be helping Caroline with the 7 and 8 year olds or 8, 9 year olds, whatever it was. And I was like, okay. Well, that started. And on Tuesday, some of you may know Chris Goodson. Chris Goodson was doing a flannel graph of the gospel. Now, mind you, I knew in my head, I knew a lot of this, right? I knew that I was a sinner. I knew who Jesus was. I knew what he did. And I talked to people about him all the time. And then on Tuesday, Chris was doing the flannel graph. And I remember hearing, not audibly, but hearing God say, you know what? You sure do talk a lot about me, but you don't know me. And so like I said, I knew all of it. I just didn't know all of it. And at that moment, I bowed my head and I asked him to be the Lord of my life. I know I'm a sinner. He's my Savior. That's that. And so since that time, man, it's been a ride. God has provided for us in a supernatural way. I remember very early on in our marriage, I was talking to someone about a credit card. We were trying to figure out how to get this thing taken care of, and she says to me, so how much are your bills? And I told her. She said, how much do you get paid a month? And I told her, and she said, how in the world are you making your bills? And The only thing I could say was, God is providing. I don't know, right? God is providing. And he always has, even in spite of us. Even in spite of us. And I remember just kind of going through life, and you know, we have three beautiful daughters. I wouldn't have them if it weren't for him. Remember thinking a while back, there was a couple of moments. So I at the church we just came from, they were I was elected chairman of the deacons, and we were doing a Thanksgiving dinner for the first time, and I remember walking back to the pastor's office after the meeting, and I said, you know this is going to work, right? He said, how do you know? And I said, well, I can barely organize my thoughts, much less something like this. And I said, God is going to be in the middle of it. And he certainly, most certainly was. Like I said, I have a hard time organizing my thoughts sometimes. And I mean, I've gotten better at management, but he definitely was in the middle of that. I remember during the first part of that very first one, in the first hour, we had a big rush, and then all of a sudden, there was nothing, and we had spent like $1,800 on food. We had it catered instead of doing it ourselves. And I, for like an hour, and I remember going sitting down in the chapel and told my friend, I said, if something happens, come get me. And he came back there, and he said, what's going on? And I told him that I was scared. I thought I had wasted the church's money. And he looked at me, and he said, you do know Satan's attacking you right now, right? And I was like, yeah. And then from there, God just opened that door. And we had, it's like the fishes and the loaves. We had enough for everybody afterwards, right? God came and brought the people. We took food out to everywhere. I remember one time Caroline was talking about when she first came back to the Lord, that she didn't have she had a New Age philosophy about religion, about discipleship, about the gospel. And one day it occurred to me that I talked about God, but I really didn't, I talked to people, but I really didn't have a zeal. And so this song came out, some of y'all remember it. The lyrics are, God, give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for healing. And I prayed for that. That became my prayer for like 6 months. And God honored that prayer. We have opened our house to people, and the Lord has helped us with them. We have done some crazy things. I mean, we've done some crazy things because we follow the calling. So you know, our two younger daughters, and now we have a beautiful third daughter, that God has allowed us to, have in our life. And, we love her more than anything, and I pray that she knows that. It's hard to quantify what he's done in my life. I know that right now the position I'm in at work is because of him. Well, first of all, let me add this in before I forget real quick. By the grace of God, and it is by the grace of God, not anything of my doing. February 1st was 22 years of sobriety. When I first started this job where I'm at now as an electrician, we were new. Literally, I was one of the first five employees hired in this area in Charlotte. And I remember going to the manager one day, and I said, hey, man, I can see that you're stressed. Let me pray for you. And so very often, I would go pray with him. A few times, he would come to me and say, hey, let's pray. And this is God's doing. This is not my doing, not even remotely close, because my inclination is to be selfish, just self-centered into the extreme. And God is working on that with me. And over the years, I have, it has less and less. And when I, there are times when I take it back, but then God reminds me. Some of you may understand this, some of you may not, and I wanted to say this and then I'll end. The best I could do with my life led me to the foot of the cross. My life was so horrible, so bad, so miserable. And I gave it up to Him. I gave everything up to Him. And I had to, because there was a way that seemed right to man. And in the end, it led to death. Today, because I know my past, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I tie those the best I could do with my life. Led me to the foot of the cross with, He shall direct your paths. Because if I do what Chris wants, there's trouble and misery. And the last part of this, I wanted to focus on this for a second. This phrase, I heard it in the rooms. There's freedom and powerlessness. There's freedom and powerlessness. The only thing I have to do is what God has called me to do. I don't have to try to control anything. I don't have to try to be in charge of anything. I just have to do what He's called me to do. And there is a freedom in that, man, there was a time when everything had to be my way. But I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to control things anymore. I don't have to. Do I try to? Absolutely. But I don't have to, because His way is infinitely greater than mine. And if I just listen to Him, He's faithful. Even when I'm faithless, He is faithful. And I just praise Him and thank Him for everything that He's done. He is an awesome God, and I'm glad He's given me the zeal and the opportunities to witness and to do the things that I do. One of the things that I will promise I'll stop in a minute, is the men's ministry. He has given me a heart for men, to get them into the Word, to get them into, I've said this on many occasions, if men did what the Lord had called them to do, this world would not be like it is. And so my history with men is this: my dad was absent and my stepdad was abusive. But for some reason, the Lord has put in my heart to do this. And I thank You for this opportunity, and I thank You for all that You do for me and my wife, and I will serve as faithfully as I can. Thank You very much.